Hello, I'm Debs.
And I'm Hannah, and welcome to The Write-Off, a podcast for the everyday writer.
Even if you don't write every day.
Whether you're hoping that what you're working on will one day be a Sunday Times bestseller, or you're simply putting words on the page for the pleasure of it, The Write-Off is a podcast for every writer on the journey.
You might be squeezing your writing time in around multiple jobs or childcare, or even just around the ebbs and flows of your own enthusiasm. But we're here to say, us too. Hello, and welcome to series three of the Write-Off podcast with Hannah and Debs.
Yay, we're back.
Woohoo! It's been a few months, but I am glad to be back.
I'm glad to be back too. I always look forward to recording these with you, Deb.
Me too. So I actually listened to the last episode of series two the other day, and we were talking about our New Year's resolutions for 2022. Okay. It's now October, so... it's been, like I say, it's been a few months. So my New Year's resolution, I'll tell you yours and mine. Mine was to actually start timetabling my writing week, even if it's an hour, that I know where I've got a bit of a gap to do some writing then.
I thought that was a really good resolution, actually.
Thanks. I didn't do it. But... And I was even like, look, I know that, you know, there's that joke about timetables where you don't actually end up doing them. And that was obviously right, you know. there's the thing where you do the timetable, but you spend more time on that than the writing. But I didn't even do the timetable. But I think what I did do was kind of keep the spirit of that, which is to try and squeeze it in where possible. And just every now and then think, look, I've only got half an hour, but I'm going to put something down. And it isn't much, but it flexes that muscle.
I mean, I think like most things, when you're trying to give yourself a schedule or a timetable, on paper, it's a great idea. And I think as a motivational tool, it's often a good thing, but it can also be like a real rod for your own back, because the timetabling can be stressful as well. Just knowing that you're supposed to be scheduled in to have a little window of writing, that is almost... Yeah,
and the negativity that then comes from, oh, didn't do that today. Yeah. So I'm sure you know what yours was, but yours was to finish the first draft of your novel.
It was. And I did it.
Yes. Well, and also that was for 2022 and it's only October. So you smashed it.
Yeah. I say yeah. What happened is that I reached a word count that I was kind of heading to. And then I didn't get to do that really satisfying thing of writing the end because I wouldn't say I ran out of steam. I reached my word count that I was writing to, but what I kind of had realized that I needed to go, I'd work the story out. Do you know what I mean? So I think when you're doing your first draft and you're just sort of like vomiting out your words, and I was really aware that actually there were loads of things that had happened early on in the draft that just had to either be completely scrapped or completely changed. And they would affect the way that the ending sort of played out. So instead of getting to the point where I was like writing the final scenes and writing the end, I almost just kind of stopped, but consciously, because I knew I'd already figured out what I had to go back and do, if you know what I mean.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most words I've ever written in my entire life. Having said that, I am now in the editing phase and I'm finding it really hard. I've not really got going with it yet because I'm kind of like psyching myself out, because I know it's like when you're doing your like rough draft and you're just splurging out and you're like, oh, it don't really matter that this is really crap because I'm going to fix it. Well, now I have to fix it. What if I can't fix it?
Did you give yourself a break in between completing that word count and starting on editing?
Yeah, so it worked out quite well because I sort of finished just as the summer holidays were starting and I had to take a natural break because I didn't have any childcare for the summer. So it worked out quite well because that meant I kind of was forced to put it away and just leave it alone and not really.
Well done. Absolutely amazing. Speaking of the summer holidays, this episode is about seasons and writing in each season and also a little bit on writing the seasons. And I thought a bit about summer, actually, because the leaves have started falling and it's autumn. And I find that there's a pressure with summer to be outside and to enjoy it, because it's not going to last and all of that stuff. And from a writing perspective, to sit indoors and write doesn't feel...
It feels counterintuitive.
Yeah, to like being outside in the sun. And also, I think we've spoken before about Notions. There's kind of this idea of, well, you could write outside. But that doesn't really, like, you get the glare of the screen on your laptop. There's the noise of people outside or a wasp. I find actually summer probably the hardest time to write.
Yeah, well, I 100% agree with that. Like everything that you said about this kind of like aspirational meme life that we're supposed to live now, where we're outside living our best lives in the summer. But also for me, there's a pragmatic block in the sense that I have no time really in the summer because my children are school age. So the summer holidays always looms large. And I just know that basically I'm going to hit a wall. Where I always think, this summer I'm going to figure out a way to keep going. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to factor a bit like your timetable.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make it work. And I never make it work. So this summer I just sort of gave myself a break. I was like, I'm at a natural point to stop. I'm not going to pretend to myself. I'm going to find little windows and pockets and little moments of inspiration. I'm just going to stop. And it was quite a relief to just give myself permission to be like,
yeah, I'm definitely writing. And hopefully now you'll be raring to go.
Yeah.
Well, I know you said that you're like psyching yourself out, but like kind of because you've had the mental, you know, the mental break.
Yeah. I think it's that thing, the sort of rusty cog. That's what I feel like now. I know I've got to get my writing brain kind of fired back up again.
You just need to lube it up a bit.
I need to lube up and I think you're right about autumn. There's something about autumn where, you see, I mean, I know like lots of people have different takes on the seasons, and they sort of like feel very strongly about, some people are real summer people and some people aren't. But for me, I always really enjoy the permission to go into like a more hibernate-y kind of focus. I like that. I like the drawing in. I like the slowing down. And I think with the slowing down, for me, comes like a natural refocus on, you know.
Yeah. Even though there's like the leaves are falling and there's the idea that kind of everything's, you know, dying away. And like some people find autumn and winter quite depressing, like the days are shorter, it's darker, all of that stuff. But it's also like, if you talk about it in terms of having kids, it's a new term,
yeah.
You know, it's a new year, yeah. New pencil case, all of that. And I feel a bit like that, but with everything, right? Right, I'm going to do this, and this. There's a vibe to it. Summer's done. Let's get cracking on those life plans.
I think as well, for me, there's always that kind of like last gasp of the year mentality where I'm like, right, I've kind of got 3 months till the end of the year. What am I going to do with it? Like, yeah, I'm like, am I going to have something to show? Am I going to, not to put like too much pressure on myself, but like, what can I do with this last little bit of time? I was thinking about this earlier on, and I was wondering whether or not you think the tone of your writing or kind of what you want to write changes seasonally. If you were like hunkered down writing a short story or a poem or working on your manuscript through the winter months, do you think that changes or affects, maybe not changes, but like has an effect on the tone of what you're writing?
I think definitely. I think so many different things affect the tone of your writing, especially if you are writing in a shorter form,
yeah.
Where you don't have to kind of be consistent with a novel. I guess it depends how affected you are by the seasons with your mood, because winter can be quite depressing and bleak.
I was thinking about it because obviously I'm not writing in the short form, I'm writing a long form thing, and I thought, you know, if you're somebody who's fired up in the summer and who is inspired to write in the summer and has the time and the freedom to write in the summer, then is your tone bright and breezy and optimistic and focused and zingy because it's summer? Or do we just write what we feel?
Well, no, I don't know. I think I remember being given some advice. I know this is not necessarily about the seasons, but I think it's the same kind of deal where the advice was write the same scene, but play different types of music while you do it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was to achieve some dialogue. And it was like, you know, if you played a bit of classical music and then if you played some hip hop, what, yeah, how does it affect the style? And I think we, you know, we are so moved by our environments,
yeah,
that it can't not have some impact on,
yeah, the way we're, well, thinking. It's interesting you should say that, because I remember Maggie O'Farrell saying in an interview when she was writing Hamnet that she had to listen to the same song, or she listened to the same artist, perhaps the same album, before the writing process every time, because it was setting the tone for her of what, you know, she couldn't listen to anything else,
yeah,
because otherwise she wouldn't tonally be in the right place.
I know that before, I remember it was really snowy, and I thought, even though I wasn't writing anything specific at the time to do with winter, but I watched a scene opposite my house. It was the wind on the snow on the rooftops and the kind of movement it was making. And it was all so still out there. There was nobody out there. It was a complete blanket. It was just beautiful to watch. And so I thought, well, what if I am one day writing about winter? Maybe I should write what
notes
I can see right now.
Yeah.
And then go back to it.
Yeah.
If one day, so I've done that a couple of times with different, when it's exceptionally, you know, like it's really windy or something like that, I just try and think, all right, well, maybe I should write that a little bit down. But it does mean that I've got this whole section of notes that, yeah, is just kind of a couple of sentences.
Do you ever
think, oh, at one point I'll dip into that and put it into something.
Well, I think I'm probably fail the writing, like, litmus test, because I don't make very many notes anywhere. I make them on my phone occasionally just to empty my brain out, you know, when you can't sleep because the voices won't stop talking to you in your head, or they switch themselves on, having not switched themselves on whilst you're actually, mm-hmm, sat in front of you. But I've got all these beautiful notebooks. I don't have that many notes in them.
No, mine is on my phone.
To be honest, I have taken more out of the notes on my phone than I have ever taken out of a notebook. What does that say about me?
Says that you're a modern woman.
I'm a modern woman, Deb.
A modern woman who likes notebooks.
I like the I like the look of them, and I like paper.
If there's an apocalypse, at least you have your notebooks.
I know, right? I'll be burning them to keep warm, won't I?
Only if it's the apocalypse in winter. Could be a summer apocalypse.
It's always the apocalypse in winter.
Yeah, that's very true. So thinking about writers who actually write the seasons well, I'm part of a run club, and on Saturday we went out and it was really misty and muddy and atmospheric and a little bit colder. Someone from the like run group posted up on social media like some of the pictures, and they put seasons of mist and mellow fruitfulness. I thought, oh, that's Keats. And then I was like, how did I know that was Keats? And it was basically because of Bridget Jones, which goes to show how lowbrow I am with things like poetry and the fact that I don't actually read that much poetry. But it did make me go back and look at that. And it is a beautiful poem about autumn.
Oh, that's nice.
Which, you know, I came to know about from when Hugh Grant said, fuck me, I love Keats. Actually, I think he said it in a posher voice than that, but...
Thinking about your notes when you were like looking out over the winter canvas, like, I personally don't think I am particularly good at capturing descriptively like the tone of like a winterscape, or, you know, the amazing kind of like sun of summer. I mean, I'm just doing it now. The amazing sun of summer.
But I think that kind of proves your point that we do write differently depending on what the seasons are, because I'd say you'd be better at writing it if it was in front of your face. That's why I take notes. If I was writing about autumn and I was sitting there in spring, I would struggle. I couldn't conjure that feeling without experiencing it.
Yeah, so speaking of conjuring, it's part of my book is about the protagonist being back in the town that she grew up in. And so I was trying to like do some like descriptive stuff about the landscape, which is quite a sort of theatrical landscape. And I thought, oh God, this is going to be easy because it is amazing. And if you've grown up, I think it's the kind of place where if you've grown up in that place, so I'm talking about Cumbria, and you don't at all appreciate like, you know, what you see on a daily basis. If you see like, you know, fells and mountains and da 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 da, and then you go away and come back as an adult and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know how suddenly you can appreciate a view when you're a kid and your mum's like, look at the view, and you just anything more mind-numbingly boring than looking at a view. And then you grow up and you're like, oh yeah, the view. But in my kind of like arrogance, I was like, oh, I mean, wait till I write about this landscape and I can't fucking do it. I'm not writing loads and loads about, but I just every now and again I want to kind of like direct the reader to the, I suppose, bed the reader in the place.
Of course.
And it's really hard.
Because it's a character, like the setting is a character.
Yeah, exactly. And so I wanted to write about kind of like the colours of autumn. And yeah, basically I've not done a very good job.
Finding it difficult doesn't mean that you're not doing it well, as long as you're painting that picture.
It's like you don't want loads of like purple prose and get all whiffly about, you know, in my mind, good writing is where in just a few simple words, you've kind of painted the scene. Do you know
Definitely.
What I mean? Clearly, successful writers make it look easy because they're good at writing. Or maybe.
But that's what drafts are for, and revisiting, and, you know, it'll probably come to you when you're looking at that scenery and you're not in, and you don't have your laptop in front of you. Yeah. And then you can add it to your phone.
Harks back as well to like our different skill sets as writers. Some people will be amazing at, you know, writing place and scenery and, you know, setting the tone for an atmosphere, and some won't, and that's not their skill set. You know, their skill set is, I don't know, drawing character and dialogue, and you can't necessarily expect to have all of it.
Yeah. As long as you have it in there, like you say, so that you're telling the reader, just reminding them of where the characters are, it's enough.
I'm a bit worried it's going to be like, the hills are green.
Are the hills green?
Well, this is the point. So, like, I was trying to, like, capture this thing, image I had seen when I was, like, driving through a valley and the sun was moving, like, so it's a bit cloudy, and the sun was, like, breaking out every now and again through, like, a block of cloud, and it was kind of, like, painting the landscape in a different colour each time it broke through, and it was amazing. It was amazing to see visually. And then I thought, oh, wait till I write this down on a bit of paper. It's going to sound amazing. And I just
keep it simple. Like you say, play to your strengths.
And I suppose there's something to be said for practice, isn't there? It's like, I don't think I did a very good job of capturing that scene, but then it takes a bit of practice. You know, I think it'd be a bit arrogant of me to think that I could just like first time write this incredible passage that describes the sun moving across the fells, and maybe I just actually have to remind myself it takes a bit of work. Go back and have another go.
It's a craft. Yeah.
All right. Note to self.
Well, that was absolutely delightful, Hannah. I'm so glad to be back. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And good luck with your writing.
Good luck with your writing. If you have enjoyed today's episode, then please do subscribe, rate, and review us. It helps people to find us, and every listen and download to our little podcast really does make a difference, and we really do appreciate it.